You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
What's up, Goaters? It's your host, Lurk, here. I just want to say thanks for checking out the Van Flip podcast. And if you're listening to us on a platform that you can rate and review us, please do so. It greatly helps us out. Not only can you visit us at lambgoat.com, but you can stay up to date with everything by following our social media accounts. On Instagram and Twitter, you can follow us at lambgoat, and you can find us on Facebook as well. And if you already didn't know, you can view all of our podcasts in full video format over our YouTube channel. So be sure to subscribe. Just search Lambgoat or the Van Flip Podcast on YouTube and you'll find it. If you dig what we're doing here on the podcast, be sure to check out our Patreon page. For only $5 a month, you get exclusive Patreon content, invites to live streams, and much more. So check out the page for more information. Speaking of Patreon, I want to go ahead and shout out our latest supporter. Thanks, Dylan from San Francisco, for the support. This episode of the podcast features South Florida band Torch. Their latest album, Admission, came out last Friday on July 12th. Definitely check it out.
Oh yeah, what's this? I feel this. Oh yeah, this is Oh no. Oh no, no, no.
Lambgoat presents the Van Flip Podcast.
All right, welcome back to another episode of the Van Flip Podcast. I'm sitting here with
Torch.
Both of them are Torch. I'm sitting here with John and Rick of the band Torch. How are you guys doing today?
Doing good.
Pretty good, man. Pretty good.
Just let everyone know who doesn't know what you guys do in the band and everything like that as well.
I'm John, and I play guitar. Used to play bass, but I'm really bad with time. Maybe the last year or two.
Yeah, a couple, year and a half, maybe.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, I've been playing guitar for a little bit.
I'm Rick Smith. I've been playing drums in the band since the beginning. It's been 15 years now.
John, you were also kind of in the band from the beginning, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, just on the guitars,
like the
on the bass.
Two or three band practices, I think.
Cool. All right, yeah. Just making sure. Just because... Yeah. Rick stated it. I just wanted to make sure we're on the same page.
Yeah.
Currently, you guys are on tour. You just kind of started your tour. Not your main tour, but you're leading up to your tour. This is like your second date, and you're going to be out for a month and a half or something like that with Baroness, right?
Yeah, well, not the entire tour, because we had like a 15-day tour booked, and we had an offer come in, and we're like, and management was like, yeah, you guys should really do this, and... We haven't toured with them since 2006, where we did a like 6 or 7 week European tour with them in like the same sprinter. So we took it on, and the tour went from being 15 days to 35. So
nice.
Just a little more.
Yeah, yeah. And you guys, you said this is your second time first time in a while that you've toured with them.
Second time ever. We've done some shows here and there, but like
on tour
in the beginning of the band, but we did one proper tour, which was UK and Europe.
Like, okay, cool. So not really in the States so much.
No, not at all, actually.
Are you guys looking forward to that? Or
yeah,
I mean,
it's gonna be fun.
You guys are direct support for them, right?
Yeah,
okay. And who else are you guys going out with on that? Is Horrors gonna be there too?
Horrors is gonna be with us for the last half of the tour. Our headlining part of the tour in the Southeast, yeah.
Cool.
And then in the Northeast, we're going to have Wear Your Wounds, which is some guys from Converge and Cave-In and our buddy Chris Maggio on drums.
Man.
He's one of the best drummers ever.
Yeah.
Really incredible guy. And so we're super stoked. They're going to be on part of the tour. And then... I think when we're with Baroness, one of the shows is with War on Women.
Yeah, at least one, right?
At least one show is with them as well. And is there anybody else with us with Baroness for any of the dates? I don't think so.
No. I think there's other bands that take the main support slot when we do our own stuff.
Yeah.
But a chunk of it, you know, we go in and out of it, but a chunk of it is us and them.
Cool.
Yeah, should be fun.
And that's also in support of your new record that will out maybe or is coming out depending on when this is going to be aired, but it comes out on the 12th of July.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, you guys, this is your first one in a couple years, the second one on Relapse. How have you guys liked being on Relapse for the last two albums?
I feel they were interested when we first started, and we kind of like, we felt like we needed to work with Andy Lowe, the original owner and guy that started Robotic Empire, because
mm-hmm.
he kind of pretty much nudged us into becoming a band, where he hit up Rick and let him know, like, hey, do you like the idea of possibly playing drums for Floor? And Rick was like, fuck yeah. So, you know, Rick, after a tour with our old bands, like, he came home, jammed with Steve, and quickly realized, like, hey, you know,
we're talking about like 2004 days.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And he realized, like, damn, like, this kid can fucking play fast, slow, whatever. And so I think, like, the wheels started turning. He's like, man, this doesn't necessarily have to be Floor. Like, we can do different stuff. And, like, for him, it's, like, kind of refreshing and mm-hmm. do something different. And, you know, so I think for, around that time, Relapse was like, hey, what's up? We're interested or whatnot. And that wasn't too long after. I feel like that was around a time where this Floor self-titled was, like, everyone was playing it like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that was going on. So I think there was people, like, keeping an eye on maybe what Steve was going to do and stuff like that. But we did, what, like, two records on Robotic. And so we kind of, like, went on a different path or whatnot. So when we were done with Volcom two albums ago, on the 12th, it'll be three albums ago.
Yeah, your third overall album.
Yeah, so I lose track. one of those fucking records. Steve, when the Volcom thing, we were done with them, it was just like a one-off. He kind of like hit him up, you know, very casually, and they're like, yeah, we're ready. We can send over some stuff. And Rennie over at Relapse sent over a contract, and we're like, yeah, we took it down to a lawyer, actually. And he was like, shit, man, they must really like you. I haven't seen a contract like this since the 90s.
Oh, wow.
So it's been cool. You know, I feel like certain things have changed. One of our favorite dudes there, Bob, he's no longer there. But it's been cool, you know, and we're working with, you know, some people I really like and believe in the band too. So the dynamics have changed a little bit, because I think, you know, the whole breakdown of how they operate has changed a bit, but they're still, you know, a great label to us, and you know, super helpful. And yeah, so it's a good relationship, I would say.
Cool. Just it's a kind of a little weird marriage, because, you know, your sound as the band is not really, you can't really classify it that well, because, you know, as people know, it's a lot of what you guys listen to and then like throw into a blender, and it kind of just manifests itself as your sound.
I dig that. I love that about this band. The harder people have to work to describe it and like really stretch. Because basically, when people are describing a band, they're just using their frame of reference.
Right.
So whether it's something that is a big band or an obscure band, it's like it's just point of reference. So from one person to the next, they're going to pull from whatever they know, mm-hmm. you know? So the harder you make that, I don't know, I get a kick out of it.
Yeah, I mean, because it's more, you'd have to just say, like, oh, you have to hear it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it makes people check it out a little bit more. What would you kind of, because, I mean, like, obviously, Wikipedia classifies you as, like, a heavy metal band, but we highly...
Power metal, I hope you
mean. I don't know if I'd classify it as that myself, yeah. But what would you guys, I mean, obviously, the sound has changed from Jump Street to now anyway, mm-hmm. but, like, how would you guys classify yourself as... if someone hadn't heard you?
I would say like hard rock. Yeah. I would say hard rock. Somebody that hasn't heard, you know, it's funny because like I try to describe the band. You know, you end up in situations like with like family or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like, you know, it's like your mom's coworker and, you know, this guy doesn't
listen. In a rock band.
This guy doesn't listen to any, you know like any, like, any me really trying to break it down is not going to really make much sense. So, you know, just depending on who I'm describing it to, I describe it so different. But yeah, like I'd say the average person that's just like, oh, you're in a band, dude. Like, what do you get? What kind of stuff do you do? I always just say, like, hard rock like Black Sabbath, or some or grunge like Sonnet or like Soundgarden or something. You know, kind of compare it to those bands so for people. I think that's kind of like the clue. I mean, you know, it's like funny. Like it'll be the guy that works at the post office that like. It's just kind of like, oh, like Smashing Pumpkins? I'm just like, yeah, yeah, totally.
Whatever
like,
you want to think
like,
it is.
Yeah, like, that makes sense. Like, sure. Yeah. Like, you know, you might actually listen to us and hear it in some of our material, but, like, not all of our material is the same either, you know? Like, someone will hear our new track, Admission, and be like, oh, dude, they're like a shoegaze kind of band. But then, like, someone checks out any random thing in our catalog, it could be, like, some super slow, super heavy thing that they're just like, what the hell is this? This isn't like that at all.
You know, like on the new record, like you'd hear that song, and then two songs later, you're like, I mean, I feel like there's a sonic continuity and identity and vibe, but it's just like, yeah, going from a certain dreamy track to like some bomb string heavy shit. You'll be like, you know, if you show, like, you can always like ease people in, but sometimes you can show them like the extreme of what they don't expect.
Yeah, all the dynamics and the range is.
And to me, that's what makes this band so much fun. Like, there's not like a checkboard or some sort of fucking flow chart to like what a record's supposed to be, what the songs are supposed to be. It's just like, show up. If you have ideas, cool, let's hear them. Or, oh, you have a completed demo, let's hear it. Or like, I don't have shit. And I'm like, well, let's make something.
Yeah. Off top of the head.
I just tell people like loud rock and roll.
Yeah.
Just tell them that, you know, loud rock and roll.
It's weird, Rick, you brought up certain bands to describe yourself, because literally like earlier when JP and I were talking, I was like, I kind of get this weird Black Sabbath-y vibe.
Oh, yeah.
Like even in the vocals sometimes, you know, so that's a good, I mean, to me, and I've been jamming a lot of it in the last week, so I get that.
Sometimes it's fun when like people pull from certain things like, shit, okay, I can see that. Like earlier on, some people were like, oh, it's like the basically the rhythm section and guitars of like Black Sabbath with some of those vocals, but then you kind of have this Beach Boys thing.
Yeah, it's not really Black Sabbath-y. Like that, I was telling them that. I was like, it's not, it's like, it's in the same avenue as Black Sabbath. Like there's a lot of like tones and like things that you can hear that are like kind of Black Sabbath-y. And I, like I said, like I think, Steve's the vocals, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, not that he sounds like Ozzy, but with it all together, it kind of reminds
there's
you like...
There's something there, And I mean, that's like the down-tuned stuff, the big chunky drums and all. You know what I mean? There are certain things, the way we play maybe a little bit. But I feel that on that, at the same time, someone can also, you know, say like, oh, well, I hear some Guided by Voices in there. Or, you know, I hear some other stuff.
Sonic Youth, you know, in some tracks, Killing Joke even sometimes. And like, just like, it's super random kind of what we'll throw in, you know? Like sometimes I'll take stuff from like my ideas from like crowd rock stuff I'm listening to, and like if it doesn't fit, even if it doesn't necessarily like, that's not the exact kind of track we're making, like my drumming will still follow that sort of like style. It'll add to it, you know, to actually kind of make it unique sometimes. I definitely like feel like I'll take things, especially like, you know, going through periods of time listening to like reggae a lot, like sort of like feeling that sort of slowness of that kind of groove that like they really play like almost behind the beat that makes the music feel really kind of certain way. Like I just, little things like that influence it, you know, as well. And like sometimes I play like I'll play a Torch track for someone, and then I talk about like the dub reggae thing. That's how I'll hear some one part, and then like they hear it totally different, and they
go, like you
know,
pick
it's funny. It's like even the
hear.
Riff, like Annihilation Affair. I was actually playing it for Alvar, and like it has that like gun groove, and like
I mean, we're from Miami too, man.
We're from
of course.
I grew up with like a mixture of like fucking booty based. And like,
oh yeah, of course.
People that were sampling crap.
Yeah, how old are you?
36.
Yeah, so we're the same age. Yeah, of course.
So it was
Like,
it was like freestyle, booty bass, then like classic rock showed up and oldie. I was just exposed
all
to
over.
Quite a bit.
Yeah,
but
totally.
Like low end and like that glow, that frequency that just moves and that speaks to all of us.
Definitely, man, know? For sure. Like
plus, bass, I mean, like outside of all
bass,
the culture,
like
down in Miami.
For the first time as a kid, seeing bass for the first time was like, I was a rocker too. I was like fucking rock and roll. I didn't really. At the time, I was really pretty young, and I didn't really mess around with too much other music. I was just on a really big finding and discovering rock and roll at the time kick. Mm-hmm. But seeing bass for the first time, when I saw a actual bass DJ, man, I remember thinking it was the craziest feeling. Like bass was
power,
fucking, it was power,
it
and it's so pure.
In
It's so pure, like that 808 bass.
This had to be
specifically,
like 90s.
It is like purely physical. Yeah. It's like
and
beyond.
And the parties going up, that shit is undeniable. Like, you should go to a party.
Yeah,
like,
the parties were all, the parties.
I grew
were
up awesome. Here, but I definitely had a bunch of like Miami Booty Bass tapes, like mid 90s. So I know exactly what we're talking about here.
Okay. So that music was so much fun, and it was so hyped up. You know, it was like,
boom, I got your
that shit comes on totally.
I got your man.
That stuff comes on in a room, you know, or like wherever at a fucking party, and like the party's popping off immediately.
Oh,
like that stuff is like pure energy, you know.
So does torch like those parties back in the day? Is that something you guys still get into, like booty bass bounce music?
That's like fucking booty bass hour and shit. Sometimes at the shows after we play, like crank that shit.
Yeah,
like,
sometimes
you
know, it's funny. It's true. We have done tours where we'll just play it after we'll have the, you know, sound guy put it on.
Even in Europe too, like, oh shit.
In Europe, they're even more receptive to it. I feel like in Europe, people will stay after the show and actually dance to it. Yeah. Like, it's on the PA after we play.
That's cool.
And the show won't completely empty out because there's like, you know, 15 people on the dance floor all dancing.
Finishing some drinks and getting
into
it.
Even the crew, like the people, the house staff or whatever, like, yeah, fuck it, we'll just stay open a little longer.
Yeah, yeah. It's cool, actually. That stuff actually always, it does. It keeps the party going.
Yeah.
There was one time at the Grog Shop, I think we were doing that. You remember that in Cleveland? We were in Cleveland at the Grog Shop, basically playing booty bass, and they stayed open late as shit, like after hours, and let us keep playing music, and they were super cool.
Well, shout out Grog Shop for letting that party.
Grog Shop, yeah, we love Grog Shop. We're big fans. They're really cool.
Well, that's a surprising little avenue, obviously, for you guys that probably the regular Torch fan wouldn't necessarily know.
But I feel like, man, I mean, it goes deep,
though. There's so much stuff we all listen to.
It's all in there, like, frequency-wise, the way we write music. I mean, just even the equipment we're playing through now, I went on some fucking deep shit, and, like, just, I was like, it's just when I moved over to the guitar, I'm like, man, I'm like, shit. I'm like, what the fuck this shit sounds like? I'm not into this equipment. And after years of dialing in a bass sound, that gave me that feeling for the music that we grew up and we've naturally gravitated towards, like, pushing it in our sound. You know, I was like, I need some of that, you know, now playing guitar or whatever. So we designed, partner and I did, like, pedals, heads, cabs, like, to embellish that, like, bring that out. And they're also super versatile, you know? It's not just, like, the Torch sound. It's whatever the hell you want it to be.
Right.
But it's versatile and, like, a full-range thing that it can, like, bring that feeling, that energy to the live setting with us. And it translates to the record. The new record has that stuff all over it, you know? So
yeah, is that something you do in your spare time? Like, twiddle with, like, electronics?
I have no spare time. No, I'm noticing now, I'm like, holy fuck, man. I'm, like, stoked to be on tour because I can sleep.
Yeah, you breathe. You have to focus on one thing for the most part?
Yeah,
still a lot to focus. I mean, there's a lot of shit. Look, he has a fucking print shop. So before we're going on tour, it's like, great. All right, I'll see you at practice after you print for fucking hours.
Yeah.
In, like, 100-degree weather.
And I'm printing Torch merch.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm printing Torch merch.
He's having to do, like, the art aspect of stuff. Calls his brother. They're back and forth. Sometimes it gets hectic. But, you know, we're operating. With the break that we took after the extensive touring for the last one, a lot of shit happened. Like, I was living on the West Coast for some time. He started printing. I had, like, a couple of these custom things kicking around, and what I do most of the time is I record bands, like, record, mix, or whatever, and I had this gear, and people were like, man, what's up with this? I'm like, yeah, it's just some shit I think is cool. They're like, yeah. So he's in our record. I'm like, of course. And people keep asking, are you going to make this? I'm like, no, I'm not getting that headache.
But there's things that you've put together yourself.
Yeah. And the help of my partner. Like, he like, when I'm just, like, getting there, I'm like, push him, and I make him insane. I'm like, let me share some of his insanity and, like, push you to the brink. But, yeah, there's just a lot of stuff going on. So, recording, getting, you know, recorded the record, mixed it, got the mastering done.
Is that you? Did you handle that, or
did you handle some
of that?
This one was all the way through, just kind of, like, we were very involved with, like, the vision and, like, you know, what we heard and what we felt was supposed to be the final, you know, product or whatnot. So through the demoing and all that, I think everybody was enjoying, like, the sounds that we were getting. It's like, man, like, for demos, like, this is capturing that feeling. Because I feel like with the new lineup, there was a certain, everything just felt a certain way. And, you know, I might describe it as, like, energetic. There was a certain, like, power, more dynamic, you know, like, live, you know, you're playing, and it's not just like the way we're playing is a little more dynamic, you know. Also getting, you know, older, you realize, like, okay, I could do certain things and, like, leave some space to, like,
you learn more in general too.
yeah And, I mean, some of that stuff's happy accidents as well along the way. But, a lot of that you know, you're like, oh, shit. Is that what's better than what I've been doing? But, yeah, just busy all around.
Another one, let me know.
Mm-hmm.
We'll try a little different flavor next time.
Yeah.
Flavor but, yeah, water. Man, I mean, I'm fucking, I don't even know what the fuck I was saying. But, basically, yeah, we're busy going to this record. There was no shortage of being busy. And now, you know, I feel like the recording, we wanted it to really represent the way the band sounds live. For me personally, I wanted to capture that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the equipment's on it. I wanted the equipment to, you know, it needs to speak to anybody playing it, whether it's us or anybody else. Whether it's clean guitar or crazy high gain or whatever.
So the transition from your kind of sound that you guys have had the last couple albums to this current one, like you guys brought up that there's like a shoegazy kind of vibe to some of the songs. And some of the singles that you guys already have out on like Spotify and stuff like that from that album, they do kind of give like a little Black Sabbath-y indie kind of vibe, you know, like an indie band kind of vibe. Is a lot of that due to the fact that you guys, like, you've stepped over to guitar and someone else has taken over bass, or?
I think, well, what's cool about the singles is the first one is one of Eric's songs. And then the second one is one of Steve's songs. And the last one, the shoegazy one, is one of mine. But I feel like it's fun to watch like people's excitement or reaction to each single,
mm-hmm.
and knowing what's on the record. Obviously, I'm just excited to release the rest of it so that they can see that that's just the tip of the iceberg. There's so much more.
Yeah.
And like you could even maybe like group a couple songs into like kind of pairs or something. But there's so much more. I think it's very revealing of us as a group, personality-wise, what we want to be playing, especially after touring on the last one for so long. I feel like it's very... I mean, it was recorded a year ago. But I feel it's pretty consistent with where we're still at right now, mm-hmm. you know, and what we want to be playing. And I think it's going to open the door, especially throughout the touring, open doors for, like, what's to come. Because that's what I think makes Torch what it is. It's like this ever-evolving array of directions sonically, mm-hmm. but there's still like this sonic signature. It's like, oh yeah, that's them.
But a lot of like maturity coming throughout the years, or different kind of vibes.
I think the new one's mature. I would call that a mature record for us, you know, definitely. Like I that's how I feel about it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But
well, as long as you're proud of it, and then, you know, you can't wait for anyone to hear it, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really stoked about it for sure. I definitely think it's like a overall product, you know, like you take a record home and like that experience that a record gives you, because it's got like all like the different aspects that make it, you know, what it is. Like,
yeah,
you know,
like it's a like whole record.
Yeah, it also has like this quality to it to me that I feel like it's something that people are going to probably like listen to for a longer period of time. I feel like there's more stuff to like revisit on it that, you know, has like. You know, I mean, I didn't really like the last one very much, you know.
The last
like,
one,
I mean, I feel like I'm kind of a little bit critical about, like, just, like, how hard we could go, you know. We did the last one, we put it together really fast.
It's not bad to be critical, though.
No, it's not, you know, but honestly, the funny thing is, you know, listening back to it now, actually, kind of, I like it a lot more than I did when it came out and when we were touring on it. I didn't like it very much. Listening back to it as a time and place kind of thing now, like, I like it, and I do think the songs are cool, you know, and maybe sometimes I am a little harsh, because, you know, I'll have other people tell me about, like, you know, like, the song's pretty good, actually. Listened back to it, and I'm like, hey, it's fine, but, like, I feel like this material is much different. Like, for me, I'm kind of like coming out like feeling really confident about it this time around, and playing it as well, you know. Like, I think playing it feels really good because I'm excited to play it, you know. Mm-hmm. Where like some of the songs when we were doing the Restarter tour, I wasn't that excited to play some of those songs. They weren't like fun for me.
Yeah.
Wasn't really like stoked. I didn't think we were like at our most creative, you know. And some of the stuff is kind of minimal even that we do on this new record, but like for a real reason, you know, like it's because it's supposed to be that way, and it feels that way. You can tell the difference, you know, like where some stuff on Restarter felt unfinished to me, you know, like that's a big difference. Is like this is like a finished product. It is a fully realized idea. Like, you know, it makes me stoked to know that that's where we went, you know, like and hopefully continue to go, you know. But like I do like it, you know. I gotta say, I'm stoked on it.
He's gonna tip his own hat to that one.
Yeah, totally.
I feel like the new one, it definitely has like it feels like what I guess like getting being young and getting into records, like I feel like records were more of a like a journey, like it had its ups, yeah, it's down, it's dynamic.
I was gonna ask, is there like a certain kind of flow throughout like the track listing and stuff like that, even though you kind of say that each song is kind of its own,
yeah, I think there, you know, is. Journey. I think it's like by the time you get to the end it's like damn,
yeah, you heard a lot of stuff,
and like people have been really really receptive to like nuances and details, even down to like production stuff and like the sound quality and stuff. Like people that in the past I don't think have really commented on that, it really grabs them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's just more nuances and details that came through, and I mean I was hoping that people pick up, and I'm like kind of surprised, like holy shit, okay, you're getting that, and like they're really able to express like certain things about the song to song flow and experience with like a good amount of detail. Good. And like I don't know, just certain language that like it's more specific, and they're like motivated to explain, and I'm like awesome, I'm ready for
yeah.
it. And the thing is, I feel like the last record, just like any other record, is a snapshot of where we were at that point in time. So that's how I look at our stuff,
right?
I probably listen to like previous releases of ours
before that one.
I actually don't. I don't listen to our back catalog. I don't like. I just.
Well, I mean, as the band, it's also not as cool to do it.
I feel like I listen to the back. I start listening to back catalog right before we tour. You know, mm-hmm. like
is it to like maybe get those songs back in your head?
Yeah, but you know what it is. We're usually playing like one or two off of like
different records.
So like it's funny. Like I'll go back and. Sometimes it's more out of me just being kind of like, I don't want to fucking play that song anymore. and I'm going to go back and find another one to replace it. And I go back and I listen, I always, before every tour, I go back to try to find the song. And then I'm kind of like, there's so many reasons why I don't want to play so many of the songs too. And I'm just like, fuck this. Like,
well, they're older in your head too. Maybe even not to the fan, but the fan.
Of course.
I mean, see, the fan would love to hear it. I know I'm a fan of bands. Of course, you always want to go hear the old shit, you know? Freebird!
I get it.
Yeah, you write a song that people like, that's it. You're playing that fucking song.
I know, 100%, yeah.
But I feel like one thing I wanted to add about the new record is I feel that we got used to a certain set that we would change, you know, a bit here and there. But I felt like it was a sonic experience where it had a certain flow to it. And I feel like that kind of maybe subconsciously laid in to the back of our minds and like, okay, when this one... Whether it was something as simple as like just a song flow, the track listing or not, track order, I think the songs and from beginning to end do that. They take you on that trip
mm-hmm.
where a live set that you pull songs from different records will give you, and like, okay, well here's a set, and we went from this record to that record back to that one, and here's this set that kind of takes you on this trip. Where on this record, it's like, damn, we could just fucking play this
the whole thing out, yeah. Do you guys think as a collective unit that this is kind of like this album is more the direction that the band will furthermore take, or is it just kind of like an experimental type situation? Just because you were saying how excited you are about it, so I didn't know.
I mean, I would say I don't know for sure.
We don't know.
Yeah, we never know. Yeah.
We'll only know when most of the songs are written for the next one. I do think that there are certain things that carry over, you know, mm-hmm. from like things we'll like and do and like probably dig in a little further. But yeah, we have no fucking idea. Like, it's just like, no. Like, if we were a band, again, that went on a checklist, or like, oh, we have to do this, and this is a song structure, you swap the ingredients, but this is it. We're not that band. Like, you know, for better, for worse.
Yeah,
yeah. You know, I mean, I think, like, what we listen to changes constantly. I mean, we all still actively, like, listen a lot to music. You know, we don't, like... We're not so caught up in what we're doing that, like, we don't check stuff out. We're, like, definitely... I was working in a record shop until really recently, you know? Like,
oh, cool.
So, I mean, I definitely check out anything that comes through the doors, you know, all kind of music. But I feel like we listen to different stuff constantly, so we're just going to keep changing, you know? Like, I mean, every record, when I listen to every record, I know exactly what I was listening to.
Mm-hmm.
Like always, like I listen back and I'm like, man, I know, I remember I was listening to like all this stuff, and like I hear little bits of it here and there, and like what I was doing at the time. So it's like, it's just gonna keep changing. I feel like the more we hear things and we're exposed to stuff, you know, and things catch our ear, it's like I'll always try to incorporate that kind of that stuff's always going to naturally be incorporated in there, you know, like
bands. I think that can do that too. Also, have more of a longevity if, as long as they can not change their sound completely, but mature. I think is a good word for bands that,
and also for a band like us that like generally, you know, tours quite a bit. I know in my mind what makes what I, you know, bring to the table, I guess, record to record, is what I want to be playing while I've been playing the previous efforts, like, over and over on tour and tour. It's like, man, I want to do, like, my mind will wander, maybe sometimes a little too much live, and I'll be like, man, I want to do some more like this, or, like, I want to try something, like, just as an actual part, you know, like, man, a part that does this and that, and, like, that's my mind will do that, and, you know, then I'll forget. It gets erased, and then some other warped version of that will come into my head, and I'll be like fucking around and come up with something. But I think it's more like, instead of revisiting the past or dwelling on it or whatever, treading, you know, same ground over and over, I'm always thinking like, you know, and part of it is probably, you know, being exposed to new things, listening to things, like subconscious inspiration as well. But I'm always trying to do something we haven't done before, you know, and I mean, it's still the same tuning, and like, you know, this is gonna be us, but just try something different. Like, that's how my mind works. I don't want to do more of the same, same, you know, like, it just doesn't work for me.
Well, I mean, I will say this, because I did get the new album earlier, obviously. It definitely is you guys, and it also is a new version of you guys, too. So, it's definitely worth checking out if you're a fan of Torch, and in all honesty, I've only really kind of been getting into your sound the last, like, maybe 2 months or something like that. So, that's weird because, like, as I got older, I started falling into these little cracks of, like, music that I didn't listen to previously. I was always into, like, metal and like, hardcore and stuff like that. But, like, there was, like, this little, like, area of, like, stoner rockish kind of, like, sludge grunge stuff that I never really listened to. But I definitely have checked out the discography the last 2 months, so, you know, I'm stoked to see it tonight, and you know, it's just another band that I can put on the list of, like, things to check out, or things that I've checked out and I like, so it's definitely worth the listen, for sure.
Awesome, man.
So you guys tour a lot, but you also have one of the questions was, is Torch like your main gig? Because some of you are in different bands, obviously, but some of you guys have, like, other jobs too, like, so what are your other, like, jobs / hobbies that you guys also have in the band?
I mean, I run a, my brother and I have a print shop together. So we're pretty much like.
You can go ahead and plug it.
Doing that.
Just go ahead and plug it if you want.
Yeah, oh, yeah. We're called Printsmith 305. We're a Miami based print shop.
They do a lot of stuff out of state.
We do all kinds of stuff, though. We definitely do all kinds of stuff. My brother's back home, like, running the business while I'm gone. But we communicate every day. Like, I mean, it's still a job for me on the road. Like, it's gonna be a job, like, this whole trip. Like, every single day I'm gonna be on the computer for hours.
Well, at least there's Wi-Fi available readily.
Yeah, you know, for sure.
Except when you really need it.
Of course. Well, luckily, my phone can become a hotspot too. If it becomes a desperate situation, you know.
But a lot of things you wouldn't be able to do way back in the day when you guys first were starting
out. It's crazy, I know. So yeah, I mean, the print shop is like my main thing. Like, when I'm home, that's what I do.
You're not doing a record store anymore?
I was working at a record store called Technique Records. Like, shout out Technique Records. They're awesome.
Miami, obviously.
Miami. They have a great section for metal. Like, awesome metal section. And then they've also got sections for, like, noise and power electronics and, like, all kind of crazy shit. Punk and hardcore and, you know, like, all kind of stuff. Experimental, avant-garde. Like, it's the spot in Miami that really goes hard with that kind
of
stuff.
I will definitely have to check. I haven't heard of it, but I'll have to check it out next time I go down.
It's a cool record shop, and it's like 70% used, which is awesome. You know, it's not just like, they do have all the reissue stuff that you want. It's all there, but they have a lot of.
If you're a collector, obviously you want.
It's great. Like, collectors, you know, get real stoked. Like, usually people from out of town, like, would come in and be like, hey, you guys have a fucking great shop here.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's a good spot, and definitely want to shout them out.
JP and I have gotten bit by that bug. Vinyl collector. It's a really bad rabbit hole to
go down. I know. I've got a lot of records.
I don't have a lot, but oh my god, I'm gonna get there. I already
know. I mean, you know, it's just they just accumulate through the years pretty quick. They just it doesn't yeah. stop. But working there actually was awesome because I felt like I was still doing the print job the entire time I was working there. So working there was like my weekends. I'd spend my weekends there, so I really had no days off when I was there. But it was totally worth it. Because, you know, I was getting a discount on records.
Yeah, of course. And why would you give that up?
Yeah, and that, you know, my
plus discount first, was... first come, first serve for you, probably, anything that comes in.
Everything. Oh, yeah. So much good stuff. You know, I mean, that's the thing. So much good stuff. I was buying records a lot when I worked there, so it was cool. I miss buying records right now, but I haven't been on tour in a while. I was buying a lot of records because I wasn't on tour. It's kind of like
you weird. Don't buy them on tour. You don't like go record shopping.
No, I used to. I've went through my periods of really going like crazy about like, oh, there's a record shop. I gotta go out of my way and go fucking look. And like the older I get, it's harder. The older I get, it's harder.
Some of my favorite records I've picked up on tour.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of like stores that I've traveled to. That I've traveled to a city that I've had like, oh, well, I gotta go check it out, but not often.
Yeah, but fuck traveling with records on tour.
See, yeah, I've never had to do that.
You gotta box them. You gotta
it's stressful. And you know, I mean,
you gotta watch like, the guy laying down in the back of the van doesn't roll over that shit.
Yeah.
Don't dent the corner, please.
Yeah, oh yeah, they can get fucked. Or just being in a hot van, like in a bug. I mean, you never know. You know? And you get to Arizona or some shit, and it's like 104 degrees outside. I'm like stressing, man. The records are there, man. It's like
exactly.
They're at the mercy of nature, you know. It's kind of
it's so weird because they're in the day and age we are in now. There's not a lot of physical copy type stuff, you know. Other than like people just putting them out themselves for the most part, especially in this little vein of music that we're in. But yeah, I was thinking the other day, I was like, man, because I started buying CDs again too.
And I was damn. For sure. I buy,
CDs and rack them up real fast. Like we used to do that on the road all the time if we had time. Or if we were eating somewhere and there was like a CD exchange or one of those.
Well, they're so cheap, especially now too, because they're trying to get rid of them all.
But nowadays, you know, you could stream anything.
But that's the thing I was getting to. You can stream everything, obviously, but...
But some records are so good, you gotta have the physical
copy. Well, you want a physical copy because it's going to be very limited.
Multiple formats.
It'll be limited as time goes on, and that there's only... They're not going to redo a bunch of records, you know what I mean? Yeah. So...
You know what the thing about it is, really, is like somebody... there's a whole generation of people who grew up buying like the CD. Let's just say like my generation, like I grew up definitely in the 90s. I'm an 80s kid, but grew up in the 90s getting into music, you know, and in that time period, you're buying CDs and you're taking this thing home and you're like opening it up, not really knowing what to expect so much other than maybe the one or two songs, you know.
That was the better thing about music back then too.
Yeah, I remember it was more of a surprise, you know.
With a cassette, I was a cassette person. And then the CD, I'm like, holy shit,
for sure. But I'm just saying, like, your average person, right? Like, in that period of time, like, you know, you take the CD home and, like, you open it up. You don't really know what's inside either. It's always a surprise, like, what the booklet's going to have in it.
It's
and, like, everyone who had that CD, because that's what you had to do. You had to get the CD.
Yeah, I think
everyone who had
that.
It had to open it up and look at this crazy thing on the inside that, like, no one else, like, an internet stream's not going to have all of that extra information that makes this record this experience. And, like,
a tangible physical.
It's a whole thing. Yeah, like you said, it's a whole experience, like just because you're listening to the song. I mean, you're listening to the CD or the cassette or whatever while you're doing all that anyway, too.
Oh, yeah.
So it's kind of like a whole experience of like visually and audio.
I was a fucking total pain in the ass. What I would do with my friends is we would skateboard and bike to I don't know if everybody here remembers Blockbuster Music.
Yeah.
And
that old ass arcade thing. Do you want another one?
Sure.
Do you mind getting both of them situated? Thank you, JP. Sorry.
The one thing we used to do is
you'll probably have to get his cup too for the water.
Okay.
Sorry. Go ahead.
No worries.
Blockbuster Music. Here we are. Blockbuster Video.
Yeah, Blockbuster. Well, yeah, it was both, but then like I think the music like whoop took over. At least the one down south.
Yeah.
And we used to ride bike or skateboard there. Dude, I used to walk around and get a fucking stack of CDs, go to the CD bar, and that was their thing. So they were like, they would unwrap it, open it, and I would listen to the CDs from if it didn't suck, I would listen to the whole thing. I had a lot of time, you know, so.
Yeah, that's okay.
If it sucked, it would be like, excuse me, can we change? But, I would dig in. I needed to get into that pamphlet. I needed to see. And, you know, certain records artwork was like, the reason you picked it up.
Of course, yeah. Especially when it comes to like vinyl, because like some of the vinyl didn't even put their track listing on the back, you know, or their
like
name.
You just figure it out. It's like a treasure chest of like it could be some good shit in there, or it might suck.
Yeah,
looking in a pamphlet, and I've always been super into like music equipment. So I'm like, damn, are they gonna have a picture of like the practice space? Thank you so much.
with the gear. Or they're gonna have a live foot. Like I wanted to see what they're playing.
So right.
I can zoom.
It was used. It used to be your only.
This is cranberry.
It was kind of your only glimpse before the internet, for the most part, into like a band's life too. It was, it was their like, inner notes and the pictures and stuff.
What do they look like? Yeah. What are they playing? What space is it? You know what I mean? It was like, and that was the whole thing. And I would just go to my room and if I bought something or whatever, and just fucking crank it up on one of these little boom boxes, like all the way up.
Yeah.
And my parents thought I was fucking crazy.
I do with my headphones on. My parents thought I was fucking nuts. Get here outside my room.
You're gonna blow your ears out. But yeah, I had friends come over, and I would be, like, cranking some shit, and they'd open the door, and be like, hey, man, you want to go ride a bike or something? I'm like, I'm doing homework. I'm like, but I'll be cranking. I'm like, I don't know if I was doing fucking homework, but I was just like, I need to hear this from beginning to end, like, three times.
Yeah, that's the thing that's going to probably be lost going forward just with music.
It's more about, people are more into songs.
Singles. Yeah. You know, because it's funny, there were records I had, or, you know, on tape, or, like, I remember I had my uncle gave me this Biohazard cassette. Kind of funny, right?
Tough
uncle. But I mean, yeah. My uncle, he had a Columbia House subscription.
Oh yeah.
And you know, like they sent him. Sometimes they don't send you the right shit, or they send you like something that like you did.
It's like
or,
10 CDs for fucking a penny. Penny.
They would tell you that,
and, man. They tell you that, but they rope you into then your contract that says you do that, but then you have to buy 10 CDs at regular price, and they were expensive, plus the shipping.
CDs
so it's
like 25 bucks.
No, they were. Yeah, they were like, I don't know, man. I think at the time they were like, I think they were like $12.98 or something. They were like something like that, $15 or something.
Yeah.
But I know my uncle, he would get things that he didn't order, and he'd give them to us all the time. He'd give them to me and my brother. Nice. But one of them happened to be this Biohazard cassette of State of the World Address. And, you know, it's funny. We were young. I mean, I'm trying to think how old I must have been, man. I mean,
it was young, if you're talking about Biohazard, I'm assuming.
Yeah. And I think that was the new record at the time. So, I mean, I had to have been like 12, you know, or 11 or something. My brother was like just 2 years younger than me. And that shit was like, we were like, oh, this is fucking heavy, you know? Yeah, and we were super stoked about it. But the thing that ruled about it was like, I'll always remember what that record looks like. Yeah. Like, I had the little kid running with the gas mask on the front and shit. And like, you know, like, he opened up on the inside. Like, I just remember like the shell of the cassette. It had a like neon orange cassette shell. That shit looked so cool, man.
Different color.
Yeah, it was like it made it. It was like rare. It was like more.
Or the
rare.
Tape itself is a different color altogether. You know, like a neon color.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah. Plus, streaming audio now is not as good. The quality of the audio isn't as good as like a CD in your CD player, or like obviously vinyl. But
I mean, I don't know. I might disagree, because if you stream at like 96K, some of that shit sounds better than CD, in my opinion.
Really?
Maybe not all things.
Man,
I know for this, we do like the lowest KBS for audio for talking.
8-bit this shit.
But, you know, it could be down to the pressing plant and the equipment they use to print the CD or whatever. But I will say this. There are certain fucking records that I will not listen to if they're not on vinyl. It's just, I've tried, I'm like, weird. Turn it off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Loop, Fade Out, a lot of Spaceman 3, it needs to be on vinyl. Kiss Alive, vinyl. Like, it doesn't sound the same.
Right.
On Spotify.
And those have also been, like, remastered and shit.
Sometimes it's good, but 8 out of 10 times, they lost it. They lost what made, I mean, for me, that fucking warm, thick sound or whatnot, you know.
Yeah,
I don't know. There's just certain formats that like that's for that.
Remastering is crazy sometimes on classic things. I'm always like, why? Yeah. Like it's so classic for a reason.
I mean, I do get why some people want it.
Yeah,
you know, when it gets too polished, I'm like, dude, that's what made it. The grit, the saturation.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
there's certain things that I'm like. I think like one guy, like the dude that's like always does the Hendrix stuff. I haven't heard all of it, but Eddie Kramer, you know, world-renowned engineer and all that, that fucker has taste. You know what I mean? Like, when he digs into those tapes, like, I've heard some shit, I'm like, god damn, like, this guy's fire.
I always am curious to see, like, how that will turn out, like, a remaster, just because, like, I think about them, like, something like from the 70s or something. Yeah. I think about, like, well, the technology and stuff has gotten a lot better. I wonder how, like, the computer type based mastering programs could help, like, boost or fucking, you know, quiet down some areas or whatnot.
It can go either way, because if someone gets caught up and, like, obsessed with a little thing, it's like they sacrifice everything.
Well, you're also, like, at the mercy of whoever's mastering
that.
Yeah,
so to get the right person, you know?
Something that I thought I would always like to hear remastered,
which could be good or bad, would be like the opposite of December, Poison Well's first record. That would be something I'd kind of...
They were a local band from where we were.
Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Well, they were from Broward. They said they were from Miami, but they weren't from Miami. They're from, like...
They're from the South Florida area.
Yeah, they're like 45 minutes north.
They might be the next people on. But yeah, they're... Because that always sounded...
That'd be great.
Yeah.
Hey, these guys were here. They say you're not from where from.
Yeah, hey,
I mean, there's just... I mean, a lot of Broward bands will do that, you know?
Well, they definitely don't live there now. No one... I don't think any of them live down there.
I wouldn't be surprised that everyone leaves South Florida. If, like... You're in a band that, you know, is doing stuff, like, mm-hmm. and you start touring a lot, usually you don't stay in South Florida. You get the fuck out.
Is it hard to do shows down there just because a lot of, like, because I know Miami does get a lot of shows in general, but, like, a lot of tours don't necessarily, maybe the bigger tours, don't necessarily dip down into Florida as often because they just hit Atlanta yeah. and then keep it moving, you know, throughout the country.
You got to add 3 days to your tour. You got to add a day to get... into Florida, a day to get to Miami, a day to get out of Florida, and then, you know, then you're out. Yeah. You need
there are
days,
definitely, like cities that can handle show, like, oh, yeah. you know I mean? And you yeah, can have yeah. 3 to 6 hour drives in between both
yeah,
of the, all those cities.
Tampa, Orlando, Jacksonville.
There's so many good places to play in Florida, actually.
One pattern I've noticed, though, is I feel like as bands get older, you know, certain people in the, you know, these bands are probably interested in what Miami has to offer, so those, a lot of bands have started to come down. Whether it's like, damn, let's fucking end a tour there. How like I could do yeah. some tropical. Fucking
there's a
shit.
Lot of other
and there's other
draw.
Stuff yeah, too yeah. that is you know that really attractive to certain bands.
Right, it's attractive to a lot. There's a lot of things that could be attractive to a lot yeah. of people down there.
But I feel like honestly though, there's some like from the people that straight up going there for the fucking drugs to the people are going there like, yeah, I want to go into the fucking tropical weather and eat some fucking awesome food. Mm-hmm. Like there's a lot of
yeah. You want
to
be in a fucking city that doesn't sleep. Like that place stays open 24 hours.
Yeah, it's like New York, but the South of New York.
New York ain't got shit on us.
It's like it's definitely not like New York, but it's all
the
time. The
closest thing is Spain, but
now you know. I mean, New Orleans. New Orleans is up all night, man. That place is fucking crazy.
I mean, we stayed down there last year. I stayed there last year, and I hadn't stayed down there in like a couple years.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy shit, dude! Because like there's so many like high rise hotels and stuff down there now. It's crazy.
I will say this: the one thing that I think is pretty funny is for local shows, which is kind of changing maybe a little bit. But people leave their house at 10 o'clock at night, mm-hmm. so you yeah. know, certain places like first band should go on 10:30, 11.
Yeah,
know,
everyone's you know, everyone's gonna go get food first. Start, like,
no one's starting
to the
at 7 o'clock
like,
or anything.
And that's totally that comes from like just Latin and Hispanic culture. Like that's how it is on Barcelona, Madrid, and stuff like that. Where like. People are out talking, socializing, have a great time till like the sun comes up, and then a little after even.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just like I want to go out, I want to have dinner with my friends, have some drinks, do whatever. Then let's go to fucking see the show, or you know.
And then get and then keep the night going just, like, all night.
You know,
it's all that coffee down there.
Yeah, yeah, that too.
That too.
Yeah, but it's just more. I feel like the thing that is attractive to me is, you know. The just like the tropical, you know, way of life, but also like the social culture, you know.
It's definitely a huge melting pot.
Yeah, and I feel like there's a lot of it's just a like socially colorful place. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, I don't
and
know.
It's you know, for Florida, it's very progressive too.
Yeah, I feel like it's an extension of South America and the Caribbean, not so much the South. Like when we're like, yeah.
Oh yeah, dude. No, Florida. It's yeah. like I try to explain Florida to people, and it's like. Look, where I live in Florida, it's not like what you probably have seen on the television or you think. It's not like they do ads to like tourist ads here, but yeah. it's not like palm trees everywhere, like South Beaches and all yeah, that yeah. stuff. It's like we live in South Georgia, and that's mainly most of what like the Panhandle is, yeah. and like maybe a little bit. Gainesville is also like that a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, it's more woodsy in Gainesville.
Yeah, it's not until you get down south,
yeah,
like Orlando,
it's,
Tampa,
to
Miami.
Me,
is
when people
like
are
that.
Like, man, I don't know, like for music interviews and shit like that, or the people just talking at shows or whatnot. They're like, yeah, you know, you guys, you know, you're southern band, but it's. I'm like, look, man,
we're sub southern.
We're yeah, sub southern.
We're
like,
from a sub south.
I really didn't hang out or talk to white people till like we went on our first tour. Like I was just like, holy shit, you know, like all right, I know now that I'm from a very different place.
Right.
You
yeah. know? Was that your first time like leaving that area? Was being
no,
on tour and stuff?
I had gone to like you know, down to like the Caribbean and stuff like that. Maybe like New York, definitely. But like going to you know, play like Elks Lodges and like, you know, fucking
yeah,
you
like VFW shit. Like, yeah, yeah. You know,
yeah,
when,
like when you first start, you play all like the small cities, small towns. Yeah. That's where you want to go. And when you go to New York, LA, whatever, you're like,
you suffer. You, have the worst fucking show. Suffer.
Well, yeah, because then the Goo Goo Dolls and Train are also playing down the street. Yeah, we get it.
But and then as the band, you know, if you stick with it and the band gets known or whatnot, then those bigger, you gravitate more towards the bigger cities and your shows get bigger.
Right.
But our first couple tours, like it was a lot of like,
backwoods, little sheds, and stuff like that.
We literally had our band played a shed once.
What about our early tours where we were in like Tulsa, Oklahoma, and we played in like a pavilion, like in like outdoor park? Yeah. Remember with
and
the then, fucking?
And we're like, yo, is this cool? Like, I mean, we're from Miami, we don't give a fuck.
Yeah, but yeah, the thing is, one of those things that in Miami, we would get roped in a second doing that shit in Miami. So we're like, I'm just like, what the fuck is this shit? Like, I don't want to go to jail in Oklahoma. You know,
is Karen going to be upset that we're playing next to the jungle gym? I just, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just, I feel like it's definitely, I guess I had culture shock a little bit leaving South Florida. You know, not necessarily.
Oh, we all did a little bit,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, I think just playing, leaving in general for your first couple times is definitely
like,
eye-opening.
You're going to places where, like VFW halls, shows like that, you know what I mean? And you're just like, man,
you're just
South Dakota's
back,
a little fucking different.
Yeah, you're
know?
Taking me back. Oh, yeah, once you get out into, like, especially the rural areas,
yeah,
if,
like
you've never if you've never traveled,
yeah,
and you get out of the rural areas.
Like,
in the Midwest,
went,
I needed, like,
went,
a fucking
went,
passport
we
for the
went
Midwest.
We there first. I feel like we went there first on any of our tours. Like, we went straight for the Midwest. We spent a lot of time out there.
That's where
you could get underground shows, and people were actually excited to really book your bands.
Not a lot of stuff going on in the Midwest, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and like, you know, the people were super supportive. So, you know, we made a lot of friends out of the Midwest in the beginning, you know. But I mean, playing through, you know, Kansas and Missouri and Oklahoma and, you know, even
a lot of
Indiana and shit. Like
some certain like parts of Texas that weren't necessarily Austin, Dallas,
yeah,
San Antonio.
There's a lot of Texas. There's a lot of Texas that's not
shit,
Dallas.
I played
or
in Marfa
Austin.
One time. That was something else. Yeah. Marfa. Yeah.
You don't even have to describe it. I think the name alone might describe it.
Oh, yeah, Marfa. You got to look it up. They got the weird little Prada store out there in the middle of nowhere.
Oh, wow.
It's an art installation, I think. It's never open. But like, yeah, there's, like, Marfa, like, Prada Marfa. It's, like, this tiny little shed of a Prada store that's, like, out there. It's really wild. It's in the middle of fucking nothing. And, man, the show was so weird, dude. House of Lightning tour. We get to the place and like there's two guys there who booked the show, punk rock dudes in town. This town, rolling town, is not hardly a town. Like, dude. And we're just like, these dudes are there and they're just kind of like, oh, cool, you're here. All right, like, you know. They just took off. They didn't say anything to us. They took off and they never came back.
Wow.
And so there was no bands for us to play with, nothing. We were just there, and it was the bartender and a couple dudes in cowboy hats hanging out, having a drink, and us. And we played.
They enjoyed
tour.
It.
So we were on tour with this Australian two-piece called Dead. They're a fucking awesome band. They're really good. And so it was just House of Lightning and them. It was the five of us, man. And we basically played for each other and this one drunk woman who danced on stage with both bands.
Awesome.
And then we didn't get paid anything, and we just drank. The woman at the bar was cool and just was like, yeah, you guys are okay. And let's drink for free. And a couple of these, there's some random people that did come in for a minute. They saw like, oh, there's live music tonight. Let's get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, whoops.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Heck, I'll be back tomorrow.
All right. So we're running like 50-ish minutes, so I know we're on a little tight schedule. So I got a couple little quick ones to end it off here that kind of were sent in. All right, we already talked about the way your band sounds, your other jobs, all that good stuff, blah blah. Are we right to assume that former guitarist Andrew never recovered from the bat urinating in his eye, and that's why he's no longer in the band?
No, he recovered just fine. He did have to get like rabies shots while we're on the tour, which was a huge fucking hassle for him. Like we would get to a place, load in, sound check if we had to, and it's like we'd have to like go to clinics and get rabies shots. And
How long did you have to do that for?
I think it was a total of like anywhere between 4 and 6 shots. But luckily he was fine.
Like every couple of days, or was it for like a week?
I think it's like where he could schedule them. It was like, I think within a certain amount of time. I don't know if there was certain intervals that they needed to be at, but it was definitely like, all right, you need this many shots by this date. So get
all for just getting pissed in the eye, right?
Crazy luck.
Hey, right place, right time. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Huh?
Right place, right time. If 2004 Torch could hear admissions... Wait, let me see. What would the guys in 2004 Torch think about the new album Admissions had they heard it in 2004?
I think that we would think it's awesome, honestly.
I think we'd be like, holy shit, these guys go to space?
I would just think, like, man, like, if that's where we're going, like, that's like, really cool.
How are we going to get there?
I mean, you know, so, I mean, it's cool to bring that up. I mean, because it's something that, like, I guess...
Like,
sometimes you read people, like, say shit about, like, old Torch and, like, oh, the band's not the same and whatever. And, like, you know, kind of talking about us, like, we were some kind of, like, heavy, monstrous thing. But, like, I kind of hear the early stuff as sort of, like, a little juvenile and kind of, like, not even as heavy as the new shit. I actually
definitely
think the last two records now are way heavier than the early stuff.
Well, juvenile is a good way to... Not to describe your music, but like maybe the way that you kind of probably went about making your music and like your influences and stuff like that. So obviously as like a younger 20-something in your... I mean, I'm sure you're like 20-something when the band started and whatnot. So
yeah, well, actually, I was 19 when I joined.
Yeah,
I was really young. But I mean, just the thing, here's the thing. It's like I kind of feel like I do see people feel like we've changed so much as a band when I feel like we've kind of been just the same band from the get-go. Like... Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, had we done the songs on Admission on the first record and then recorded the first record now, the execution of Admission would sound not good because...
I think it would be going backwards.
Right, but the thing is, that here's the thing, though. It's like you just change how you play, like, in your execution. Like, you really could... It just really could have been the thing. Like, we could have done Admission first, and it would have been recorded more lo-fi compared to what we're capable of now. Yeah. Our actual execution of the songs wouldn't be so, like... Wouldn't have as much feeling because we didn't have much feeling back then either. We were very stiff players. Yeah, John and I kind of came from playing like fast. Mm-hmm. It's like I hear that stuff. I just feel like it's a little juvenile. It doesn't have feel. And I mean, I feel like we've so it's just to me. I always think it's kind of funny when people are kind of like, you know, like you guys back then were just like so different, like as if we're not the same person. You know, like like that's kind of what the thing that kills me
you
is
lost
like
touch
the,
with
that
yourself,
we're disconnected.
Man.
You
lost,
like
you
I
sold out,
like,
man.
I actually play in some other bands that are like will never make a dollar. They're way more extreme, and like I spend a lot of my time and my efforts doing that because like I just fucking love it,
right.
And it has nothing to do with me like changing through the years and being like I mean. If we were capable of making Admission back when we first started, we would have made Admission, but we weren't capable of doing that because
you weren't your best drummer self in 19.
No, definitely not. You know, but I mean, like, it's like I was creative in my own ways back then that were different than now. But like, you know, it's like you become a more tasteful person and like be able to write new stuff. I mean, we still enjoy being like the heaviest fucking band on the planet, you know, but you know, we like melody and like writing good songs. And I feel like the like what we were doing back then was also very melodic and very poppy as well, man. I mean, like I hear songs like Fire and it's like melodic arena rock pop.
And there's
shit,
also
just
elements
not
of...
executed well. We won't play that good, you know. I'm like,
it was written on a guitar, you know?
Yeah.
Everything's kind of written on a guitar and then just kind of translated into,
I think that it's just like going back to what I said earlier. I feel each record is a perfect snapshot of where we were at that point in time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, and I mean, duh. But yeah. I really do think each record shows a progression and digging deeper into what moves us,
right.
You know, as time goes on. And I feel like Rick said, it's like you're developing your taste, you're developing your interests, how you want to play, what you want to play. And I feel that building up and forward, I personally don't feel like we've gone and reversed or like downgraded or, you know, ruined
take
our
a step
catalog
back.
Just
it's,
yet.
It's only gotten better for sure,
I think so.
You know.
Well, and I mean, a lot of plays into that. You guys travel the world playing music. You guys play a certain genre of music that's not going to, you know, be on the radio for the most part. So you're also touring a lot more, traveling a lot more, doing a lot more work out as far as that, and you're also experiencing life a lot more too, just like you said, going to fucking South Dakota and, you know, wherever else in the world that you actually play at. You know, you get exposed to a bunch of other shit, mm-hmm. like, and, you know, being in a culture place like Miami and just a melting pot, that all goes into it, man, and just being older and maturing and stuff
like
that.
Yeah, I mean, and some people don't like change.
You know? Oh, yeah, 100%. I
mean, whether it's politics.
Miami. There are a lot of people in Miami don't like change. Like, I know so many people who will be Miami guys forever.
But I'm saying, like, that's one example, but, like, people that will only listen to one type of music.
Right, they only want that band to sound the same every record.
They want the same record over and over and over. And we're just not those types of people.
Yeah.
You know, like...
Well, no, those people, I feel like those people listen to more of like a mainstream type, type sound.
Well, I got like friends who are deep into underground metal, and like we hang out and we only listen to deep underground metal shit together because they don't fuck with anything else. And like I think it's cool. I like them. My girlfriend doesn't like that extreme metal shit, like, you know, but
not a lot of girlfriends.
Her and I have a lot of other music in common we can listen to together, but, you know, I have my other friends that, like, I can listen to fucking Sadistic Execution. We'll go crazy together, you know.
Well, yeah, and you're also listening to a bunch of other shit, too. Yeah, like you guys said, it's like a blender of, like, everything you listen to.
Totally. I got my friends that listen to their thing, and, like, that's what, I mean... I'll always kind of feel bad for them that's all they're really going to enjoy, you know? Yeah. But, like, at the same time, like...
It's like somebody eats the same food every fucking day. Like, you know,
it's like... I've got a lot of friends that don't understand what I do with Torch. Like, our connection is completely with different music, you know? And Torch is, like, an afterthought to them. They don't even think about me as, like, the guy in Torch. They think about me as a guy in one of my other bands or someone who prints shirts, like... And they think of Torch and they're kind of, like, not even that familiar because they sort of choose... They choose to limit themselves to what they like. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. If you can do whatever you want to do that's going to make you happy. If fucking extreme metal makes you so fucking happy and goats and the fucking devil make you so happy that you're going to only listen to that for the rest of your life, awesome, you know? I think that's fucking great. I love that shit too, you know, but...
So I recently saw someone on the internet. It's really just escaping my mind as to who it was, but they did a video of like... them talking about they went and listened to like Kiss records. They weren't a Kiss fan. Mm-hmm. And I'm personally not a Kiss fan either, but they listened to Kiss and they were like, you know, oh, Chino from the Deftones. He was talking about like, I'm not really into Kiss, but I listened to Kiss records and I'm mature enough to know like, oh, well, I like this song, but not like these songs. Or I like, you know, and he takes everything like that. He gives everything a listening chance is what he was saying. Like, he explores all that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a good way to go about it. Just like food. Like, that's something that drives me crazy. Somebody that's like...
McDonald's fast food all day long.
Like, Indian food? No way. Thai food? Whoa. Yeah. Vietnamese? Ethiopian? It's like, damn, dude, you're limited. Like, good luck with life. I'm gonna go fucking enjoy some flavor. That's how I feel about music.
Right. No, yeah.
Everything has its place. Everything has its flavor, its time. Some things you can mix. Some things, in my opinion, maybe just leave them.
Yeah, some things shouldn't mix.
Exactly. Yeah. But I think it's all, you know, it's all relative to, like, who the person is. And, like, some people are white bread, ham, cheese, and that's fucking it.
Yeah.
And
like, it's crazy.
Makes you happy, cool, but goddamn, I like some color and some flavor.
Right, when I meet people like that, or when I meet people that don't really have, like, an interest in music in general,
that's
I just kind of get dumbfounded.
That's the weirdest shit to me,
I get dumbfounded, because it's like, that's pretty much everything, you know? Because, I mean, every memory is almost tied to a musical... Yep. Situation or a taste for that matter, you know.
Yeah, when
you
moves so much, like people, like it kind of like influences the dressings, aesthetics,
everything.
Visuals. It's so when someone's just like, I mean, I really can't remember the last time I came across someone like that, but I wasn't really raised around musicians or anything, but music was always a thing.
Yeah, it's something I always sought out,
but for
especially.
Someone to be like, hey man, so, you know, if you're like talking, let's say, and you're like, hey, what are you into musically? Like, you know, music.
I'm not really into. Like, I don't really fucking get into music,
dude. Actually, recently, I think I overheard somebody somewhere out in a store or something was saying, "Yeah, I'm just not into music. Or,
yeah,
I'm into movies or something."
Like, dude, I know.
There's music in the movie. Yeah,
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know,
it's a weird thing. Those individuals are a little strange. You know?
There's like, it's like kids that are into video games, and the only music they like is video game music. You know what I mean? Like, it's the only thing that they have an emotional connection to is video game music because those playing video games makes them happy, you know?
Yeah.
I had a friend that was like that, man, that I grew up with, man, Alan. Mm. But, until he found, like, you know, until he found actual bands that he liked. Okay. But, I mean, for years, it took a really long time. Yeah,
it does also take, it may take, like, one one thing or whatever. Because I remember, like, when I got into, like, when I really fucking, like, dove into music is when I started finding, like, my own music.
Yeah.
So, like, I remember, like, and I went, like, deep in. I started my own website and all this shit. Oh, and wow. Was doing the same thing, like, Lamb Goat does. But, yeah, man. But that also, like, exposed myself. Because the internet was just popping off, too. So I was, like, in that glory time. But, you know.
I just love when, like, friends would show you stuff. And, like, or you pick up that record. Or you go to a show and you're like, all right, I got, like, 10 bucks.
Yeah, go to the show and find a new
disc. You know, get something on a distro. That's the way I would get music. Go to a show, go to the distro. Limited funds. You're like, man, this one or this one. And you kind of go off the artwork or maybe what you might have heard. But
skate videos were great, too. Skate videos, you know. Skate videos always had, like, awesome parts with songs. And, like, I'd be like, this song's the shit. I got to find out who this is.
Those are two things that have always been married together, too, I feel like.
Music and skate videos.
We had a local access metal show, Raw Power, in Miami. Yeah.
Dude, you know, it's awesome. Me and John, we both know it, man. We, like, that was something that, like, if you
and
were in Miami.
I was like, fuck.
Yeah. Because if you were in Miami, there was a cable access show called Raw Power. It would come on late at night, random times.
When is this?
This is 90s.
In that DVR time.
Oh, yeah, 90s. I don't know what the fuck was wrong with me. I have them. I still have the videotapes of them. I have the videotapes of the show. Me and my brother
used to. His
sign off was Alex B was stay his name. Evil stay evil, stay destructive.
Yeah,
that's what he would say.
See, that's only some Miami shit.
And the opening sequence for Raw Power was the beginning of Am I Evil? Like video splices of like chicks being whipped and like all kind of weird dark shit. You know,
local access TV.
It was the shit, man. I got turned on to a lot of music through that show, big time. Oh man. Like everything from like punk stuff like Blitz and like to like more metal stuff like Samael and like Emperor. I mean, they played Melvins on there. I saw so much stuff, man. Like old death metal stuff, like Hypocrisy, time, like all the Nuclear Blast show. Bands at the time.
There was
Dismember.
Also, like there was a what is it like a Morbid Angel into Helmet, and I was just like. You know, that change of it. I was like, damn.
Yeah, he played everything. He played all kind of, like, heavy stuff, you know. And this dude lived in my grandma's neighborhood, Alex B., and I'd see him all the time. Right. And we were little kids. We'd see the host of the show. He'd be in the fucking VHS rental place renting VHS, and he'd be wearing his Samael shirt and a fucking, like, upside-down cross and whatever. and me and my brother would be like, hey, man, you're Alex B. And he'd be like, yeah, I'm Alex B. Like, what's up? Like,
just like, consumed by evil.
Yeah, I don't even think, and we'd be like, when's Raw Power coming back? He'd be like, it's coming back, man. He keeps talking about how it's coming back, and it did come back. It came back, and I have two new episodes filmed. I actually, like, videotaped them. He went on it became a Miami Springs cable access show for a year.
Wow.
So there's all these, but it's, like, all newer shit. Yeah. So it's like,
towards the end, I feel like he was starting to play more hardcore and stuff.
Yeah,
to do that just because I feel like around that time frame, too.
But you know what, man? He also played some, like, RAC, like, kind of like racist kind of like shit too. Oh, he played like Bound for Glory on there and stuff. Like,
well, this is also probably where a lot of, well, other than if you listen to the words, probably you wouldn't really know what their personal views are. This day and age, you definitely fucking know. But
everyone knows everything now. Nothing can be like a little dangerous or crazy, like, you know.
No,
like,
a lot of people get in trouble like immediately.
Yeah. It's like everyone gets in some
or even
shit.
It gets sad when it's based off speculation.
Well, someone just got dropped from a record label for. It's like, what are they doing? Shouting out someone in their inner notes or liner notes or whatever. Their record was coming out and they got shelved. I don't know. I can't. It's escaping me. We posted about it, but the band is escaping me now.
I mean, you know, it was a different time and place.
Yeah. Of course.
It was a different time and place. But, like, Raw Power, they would play crazy stuff. It was always, like, some weird shit.
It was off the ante, you know?
Yeah, like, totally. That's the perfect place for it.
I mean, I heard about industrial stuff through there. Like, you know, Leibach. Yeah. Like, I heard about Leibach through that show, too. And, I mean, Leibach, he would do a thing where he would play... he'd show a screen and be like upcoming local concerts and shit.
Oh yeah, I remember that part.
Remember like upcoming shows and like
so it's basically it would be like the internet for you guys prior to
lo-fi local MTV/internet. You know what I mean?
See, that's the coolest thing though, because like I was just saying, that's only something that could happen in Miami probably at that time.
No,
like,
you know what?
It's
awesome,
it's a bigger metropolitan area.
So there's actually a ton of awesome cable access. If you start looking up metal cable access stuff through like from the 80s to the 90s, lots of places around the country had little cable access shows specifically for underground music and metal and like even punk and shit. I've actually tried to find a bunch on you. Like, so I went on this mission to try to find Raw Power
Black
on YouTube.
Black hole YouTube stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, well, because, you know, we always talk about Raw Power. Like, the ones of us, like...
Yeah, dude, it comes...
The people who come from Miami and grew up and know Raw Power, like, we...
Like, imagine, like, dude, you're a kid, you're getting to this shit.
It was a big deal
for us. For some reason,
you
come across
cool.
this channel, and you're like, oh!
Yeah, 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 for sure. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's amazing that you would be able to even have that at that particular time.
Like, oh, yeah. And it was pure luck. It was pure luck finding it.
Just being bummed that you missed it is enough for me to know.
Pure luck finding it. Because no one, there's no ad. There's like, you had to literally be flipping through the channels and just run up on Slayer playing. Like, you just see hair, like long hair and fucking guitars, and you're just like, what the fuck is this on this weird channel?
Did you guys have that, like, channel directory that would scroll up slow as shit?
Yeah, it was
like Channel 3 or whatever, Channel 4.
That's exactly the kind of channel that it was on. It was like, it would just be scrolling
like,
a bullshit.
Other than that, it was like weird community TV, and there's this fucking freak.
Yeah.
You know?
Hey, he pays us $200 for the day or, you know, whatever, at the studio.
Yeah, I mean, like, it took a lot of effort, you know?
Of course, it's a show. You had he probably had to employ the people that were shooting it.
Would he get calls?
No. You know what? Yeah, he would do giveaways though all the time. He would do giveaways. He'd give away stuff like Relapse and like other labels. Like I know would send him shit, you know. And like it was always Relapse. It was a lot of Relapse. I remember him giving away like the UHF VHF comp, which was like a release entertainment thing. It was like Noise. Mm-hmm. The what's it called? There was the fucking Japanese American Noise Treaty comp that they put out. That's how I found out about Noise music. I found out about Noise on Raw Power. This dude is talking about how
it's very influential for Torch. I see now.
Totally, man. Yeah, and like
shout out Raw.
Yeah. Like, man, you know, but you know, man, I could go into detail about this, but that's actually how I got into heard about experimental noise and stuff. Yeah. Man, it was that show, and
like I'm saying,
I didn't even know if I liked it at the time, but just to hear him talk about it was enough to make me always remember the names. I remember him naming Merzbow, Masana, and Naminax were the three he named, and describing it as music that would fucking like destroy your neighbors, that your neighbors would be so pissed. And I remember thinking like, I need to hear that. He described it as like extreme noise. I was just like, I need to fucking find that, like whatever it is. And for years I was like, you know, and as a kid you won't forget. And then
because that was like eighth, ninth grade.
Eventually
coming to your own,
like years later
I find it
logo, and you'll some freak shit will happen,
right?
Damn. But
I remember that
being, I mean, this is like years before you're gonna experience that firsthand,
right?
Which is how I experienced, you know, noise.
Well, you're not going, like you're saying, you're not going out to like venues at this particular point. You're catching
like
some weird shit on TV.
Like, you gotta be 21 or 18 before you get to this place.
Yeah,
it's always weird, like, to find something that, like, sparks your shit, and then, like, you know.
It was just the whole visual imagery of, like, the underground stuff. It was so, like,
the grainy quality.
Like, yeah.
Well, you know, and you were saying, like, you didn't think you even liked it when you first started listening to it. That's how, like, it is when you're getting into a certain
like,
kind of music.
Especially, I don't know if I dig that stuff. That stuff especially was, like, the minute you put it on and it's just, like, blaring at you and, like, crushing the shit out of you. It's kind of like, you almost want it to be musical when you first hear it because you just, that's all you fucking know.
Right.
You know?
You're trying to pull, like, all right, what, you know...
But
you still like it though. It's weird because, you know, it's like I was just like, this shit's fucking sick, but I won't listen to this, you know, on my own time. But like, it's fucking sick. Like, this exists. Some guy is making records of this
shit. Right. Like, there's a whole subculture
of that. You know, nowadays, like, as I've gotten older, like, it's like listening to jazz for me. I listen to noise and I fucking love it. Like, I'll listen to full records of it, like, Freeform or not. Like, you know, I like it all.
Yeah, there's a lot as you get older too that you can stomach more, but that you can just listen to.
Oh yeah,
you
know? I mean, even
so it's like
even like
the idea of something new, it's like bring it.
Even like beautiful ambient music, you know, like it can be like something that just takes me somewhere really nice. Like, it doesn't have to be
lo-fi
extreme.
Hip-hop channel on YouTube. I put that on like all the time when I'm doing anything.
Lo-fi hip hop.
It's like a live channel that just play like fucking lo-fi hip hop. Like, million people on it all day long, just listening to it.
That's cool.
But yeah,
that sounds
sick. Always, I think another thing with that is like the more underground it gets, it's a more of an insight to something that somebody's creating in their space. It's like looking through a window.
Yeah, it's like a little more cooler. It's like a little cooler too, because you know, like not that many motherfuckers will, people will listen to it. You know what I'm saying? So it's like it's more random that you'll find somebody else. Like, you like so and so? Yeah, I like so and so. What the fuck? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
there's more of that.
There's a connection.
Yeah,
but like the actual like more of an exclusive insight into somebody's private world and like the creation. There's more character to it. There's more. It's very intriguing to me. You know.
Yeah. There's less outside influence of anyone telling this person what the fuck they have to do.
It's
you
like,
know.
And also the idea of like, man, it's almost more likely than not that you almost shouldn't have found out about this. Or something.
Right. Yeah. Damn, look, it's like you're not supposed to find this kind of stuff.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. I mean, I think
that's the draw we all had originally to like heavy rock
of
music.
Of course.
Like, how much more dangerous can it get? How much more like fucked up can the guitar sound?
Oh, it goes from every like once you get into this shit, it's like every freaking degree, all 360 degrees is like an insane.
And it gets even more interesting when you realize like, damn, these people were doing this shit 30, 40, 50 years.
You didn't know about that because all you knew was mainstream as a kid, and like obviously the internet wasn't prevalent.
Yeah,
so
you
know
just
anything.
Keep like digging deeper, and whether it's like wow, popular culture is super influenced by all these you know these undercurrents of like progressive and creative people. It's like holy shit, somebody made a fucking noise record in the fucking 50s or the 20s or something. It's like this was recorded with a lithograph.
I think that someone's gonna be at the door soon. Just heads up.
I got to piss. Like
I was going to say, like we've been running like a little longer than I thought, and I know we got to get you back. So
we'll talk a lot of shit. Yeah.
Do you want to do...
We're just getting started.
Here's a shout-out for you for the last, you know, last little minute of the podcast here. Like, sure. Anything you want to... Obviously, the new record's coming out July 12th, which will probably be out already by the time this comes out, but this will be like that following Monday or whatever it will come out. So, yeah, just go ahead. It's your last little bit here.
Well, shit, man. I don't know. Thanks, guys, for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Appreciate it.
For sure. I want to say what's up to all our friends in Miami, all of our families and stuff, too. And,
for sure.
You know, all of our girlfriends and all of our, you know, siblings and shit.
Shout out Alan to finding other music.
Yeah. Yeah, man. It's been a good time.
Shout out to my dogs.
Dio
and Uli.
Shout out to my dog. Luna made another appearance. She was way better this time. The last interview, she was all over the place and all over. Hey, there she is.
She's like, I still got the fire. I still got the fire.
Yeah. We'll wrap it up.
All right.
Sounds good. Peace.
Oh, where can I take a piss?
Hey, this is Chris Swinney, formerly of the Ataris and currently host of That One Time on Tour, part of the Sound Talent Media Podcast Network. Have you ever wondered what it's really like on the road? The highs can be euphoric, but the lows can be crushing. Join me every week as I chat with industry pros about what it's like living out their wildest dream and, in some cases, their worst nightmare. Past guests of the show include members of NoFX, Pennywise, Bad Religion, and more. Listen and subscribe at SoundTalentMedia.com.